Chapter 39, Unceasing Labors. For many years, I have desired to step aside and to have someone take my place as leader of this mighty movement. I strove earnestly to fit others for this great responsibility, but no one else has seemed equal to, quote, bear the burden and heat of the day, end quote. Mary Baker Eddy, 1900. The Sentinel of September 13th reprinted an article from the Boston Post, which may partly explain Mrs. Eddy's reason for attending the fair. It also reveals the intensity of the malicious malpractice against her by her refractory student. On the 9th of August, a reporter from the Boston Post had arrived at Pleasant View unannounced and was told that Mrs. Eddy would probably not grant him an interview. But she did, and he titled his report, Mrs. Eddy to the World. You may send out to all the world this message from me. I am well, despite the many attempts of those opposed to the principle of Christian Science to prove otherwise. For 34 years, I have labored in this great field, and never have I been so keenly alive to the glorious privilege of living and working. You have asked me if it were true that I am a sufferer with cancer. You have asked me if it is true that a doctor of medicine is in attendance upon me. To both these questions, I answer no, with all the truth in my being. I am free from disease, and there is but one physician guarding my welfare. He is the great physician. Stories telling of my illness have been, I am sorry to say, industriously circulated. They are not but malicious falsehoods. Their object, I presume, is to injure my health and to discredit my belief and practice of what I have expounded for more than 30 years. This, indeed, would be much to those who oppose the growth of the science of Christ. For many years, I have been aware of what you tell me, and in a quiet way, I have guarded against these unseen enemies, not personal enemies, but enemies of the faith. With your own eyes, you can see that I am well and strong, although the cycle of years usually allotted to man has passed over my head. I shall be pleased to answer any questions that may serve to set aright any mistaken belief aroused by unfounded and unworthy reports concerning my health and adherence to the great principle of Christian Science. Reverend Mary Baker Eddy, to the Post. It would be interesting to know what the reporter told Mrs. Eddy. This is the story of his interview. Concord, New Hampshire, August 9th. The Reverend Mary Baker Eddy, the head of the Christian Science Church, today made a statement to the Post concerning the avalanche of stories which have been circulated of late, attributing to the mother a lack of faith in the doctrines of Christian Science. It has been further stated that Mrs. Eddy has the constant services of a physician. Until today, Mrs. Eddy has not made any public references to these charges. The mother is a very busy woman, and Secretary Fry doubted that she could spare the time necessary for an interview. But when the mission of the Post man was made known, Mrs. Eddy immediately granted the request for a personal talk. There was a slight rustling of silk at the top of the stairs, a moment's whispering And then Mrs. Eddy came down the broad staircase of her home. In another moment, she stood at the doorway, leading into the reception room. "They have shown you into a rather dark room," she said. "Come with me." And she led the way into the front drawing room, which was brilliantly lighted by the afternoon sun. Mrs. Eddy impressed one as singularly graceful and winning in bearing. Her figure is tall, slender, and flexible in movement as a Delsarte disciple. Her face is oval in shape, the features regular, yet indicative of strong character. Her eyes are a luminous blue, a bright contrast to the mass of wavy white hair that falls over her temples. Mrs. Eddy is a striking picture of health in old age. Her step is firm, and she walks with an easy grace, strongly conveying the impression of health and strength. Taking a seat on the sofa and motioning the reporter to a chair near at hand, she said, "Now I am ready to give you any information that you think will be of interest to the public. It is with sadness that I have noted a certain inclination to ascribe to me a condition that does not exist. Did I not believe that reports wholly false have been scattered abroad concerning my physical condition, and that these falsehoods coming to the ears of my many friends would cause them pain, I would not feel that it were necessary publicly to utter any denials." There is food for thought for the metaphysician in that last sentence. Her public denial would be unnecessary if she did not believe that false reports had been scattered abroad that would pain her friends. Even her answers to the journalist's questions, which said one thing to him, say another to the Christian Scientist. The questions and answers continued. "I claim nothing more than to be the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. That I should depart from its great principle must indeed shock the world. I feel that in the face of what I have heard, I ought to give you every opportunity to print in your paper personal observations that will directly refute such statements founded in the brain of someone who, disregarding all truth, all facts, gives to the world a lie in the shape of truth." "It has been persistently reported, Mrs. Eddy," the reporter said, "that you are a sufferer from cancer. Will you kindly make a positive statement, denying or confirming the truth of such report?" Sitting upright with eyes that shone with a strange light, Mrs. Eddy replied in tones that carried strong conviction, "I do not suffer from any bodily ailment, and never before in all my life have I so thoroughly enjoyed the blessing of perfect health. I am an old lady," she added more softly, and then smiling, added, "that is in years, but not in my own sight." "Is it true that a doctor of medicine calls upon you regularly and that you are under his care professionally?" To that question, let me reply as I did to the previous one. No. And in addition, I will summon my household, and they will tell you in language that there is no mistaking that those responsible for such statements are untruthful and unjust. Mrs. Eddy rose, and with a quick movement, touched an electric button at the drawing-room door. Her whole bearing was one of suppressed earnestness, leaving no doubt that her whole heart was intent upon proving beyond a question the accuracy of her statements. A few minutes later, the entire household assembled in the hallway, and in answer to questions put by the representative of the post, plainly and fully told what they knew of the daily life of the head of the Christian Science Church. All were positive that no doctor of medicine has ever attended upon Mrs. Eddy since her discovery of Christian Science, and that she was under the care of a physician was positively denied by her personal servants. If there is nothing further that you would like to say, I will ask to be excused, Mrs. Eddy said, for I have much work to do. Mrs. Eddy went toward the stairs, and as she went to the upper story, called back, I climb these stairs a great many times each day. Do you not think that I am very sprightly? And then she disappeared, leaving the impression behind that converse had been held with a being far above the average of mortals. On the same day, August 9th, Mrs. Eddy had written two letters to her directors. One was a rebuke to the full board for placing an inexperienced young man in charge of the reading room. To the full board of directors, my dear students, do not you know that Mr. Armstrong's dear son is put in just the wrong place for his own good and the good of our cause? This move of subjecting him to the full fire of malicious animal magnetism is all done by W, showing you how you are controlled by her, and so would do such an imprudent, unwise act. This has caused another bylaw to be enacted and put in the manual. Oh, how long will even the board of directors be led by sin and Satan? If another act like this is consummated by you, I will change the entire board. You give me little cause to have any faith in you. As ever, Mother. Note well, call a meeting at once and act on this as the bylaw demands. The new bylaw first appeared in the 18th edition of the manual, establishing qualifications for the reading room librarian. Quote, he or she shall have no bad habits, shall have had experience in the field, end quote, etc. The leader's second letter to the directors on August 9th was sent to William B. Johnson. Beloved student, the one devil, evil, takes thought by drugs as well as siege. The drugs are morphine, opium, hashish, arsenic, ruse radicant, strychnine. There is need of awakening before it is too late. M.B.E. This summer of such unceasing activity in Boston also saw an important new step developing in Germany. In December of 1899, Frau Gunther Peterson and her companion, Fräulein Ida Schön, had been received at Pleasant View and had presented Mrs. Eddy with a lovely Christmas gift, a handsome German Bible. Since then, their Christian Science work in Hanover, Germany, as well as that of Ida's sister, Marie, had grown wonderfully and had created a demand for Christian Science literature in German, a need which Marie Schoen endeavored to supply. In June, Fräulein Schoen issued a notice in German, which, translated, said in part, "To our friends, the truth of Christian Science has spread so rapidly amongst all classes of the population and in all parts of Germany since the 3 years of our work here, that it has become an impossibility for us to remain in touch by personal intercourse. We now hope to meet the desire and the need of all by the publication from October 1st on of this year of a periodical to supply the want of those who are unable to avail themselves of the English literature on Christian Science. We wish to emphasize that its contents will absolutely rest upon and in every respect represent and comprise the principles and views taught by Mrs. Mary Baker G. Eddy." This announcement of the German Monthly of Christian Science did not reach Boston until September 6th, the day Mrs. Eddy was in attendance at the Concord State Fair. Once translated, consternation set in. The first thing the officials did was on September 13th to send a letter of expostulation to Marie Schoen. Their care in this situation next challenged Frau Gunther Peterson's right to teach, as is easily deduced from Mrs. Eddy's response to her Publishing Society trustee on September 14th. "My dear student, your care is commendable, but Frau Gunther Peterson must have all the privileges of her degree, for I granted it to her under circumstances that demanded this exception to our rules, which I will name briefly. She came here to enter our Massachusetts Metaphysical College. The term was deferred, as you remember. Before she came, some dignitaries in Germany had requested her to teach them. She told them she would, after her course at our college. When she was deprived of this course, as aforesaid, she feared that before she could enter upon it, she might lose those important students. I told her, as an exception, she might take the normal course with Mrs. Lathrop, and as she was a CSD, she, Mrs. P., could take that degree of her as one of the Board of Instruction, and so teach her class. This was better than to lose her students. But Frau Peterson must now pass through the college course, and you may credit her tuition to me. Please inform her of this. With love, Mother, M. B. Eddy." Within another 5 days, they had a letter on its way to Frau Peterson regarding her CSB, and also urging the discontinuance of the German journal. Meanwhile, the mother had written her publisher, Joseph Armstrong, about the situation and how to meet it. Joseph's letter of September 23rd to Publishing Society trustee Thomas Hatton is self-explanatory. "My dear Brother Thomas, Mother is busy, or she would have written Brother Mackenzie herself on this matter. As I am writing to you, she asks that you will please tell him that this is a direct order from her. It is about the matter of attempting to translate Science and Health into German, as Mr. Mackenzie wrote to Mother. Fräulein Schön and Frau Gunther Peterson of Germany are undertaking this in some way, which you and Mr. Mackenzie know more about than I do. And Mother's word to you is that you should faithfully pray for them. Their purpose is to do good, but malicious animal magnetism has misdirected them, and what they need is that you be patiently helpful to them. Both mentally and by kindly writing to them to deliver them. They would not work independently in such an important matter, nor even run any risk of working out of God's time. Good speed, you and them, in the right way. Sincerely and lovingly, Joseph. P.S. I do not take that in writing them Mother's word to you should in any way be referred to, but that you come to them from your own full brotherly heart. When Mrs. Eddy set up the publishing society, she asked for a small, strong board of 3 trustees, one a metaphysician, doctor, one a businessman, and one a scholar. Mackenzie was her scholar, and though all 3 were practicing Christian Scientists, this situation demanded more metaphysics than scholarship. Hence, her response to Mackenzie was routed through 2 other students. Also, her scholar now had the calm, active support of both Joseph Armstrong and Thomas Hatton, who had been guided by the mother's hand to work in the right direction. At the same time, the leader turned to God for a solution to this problem, which was revealed to her and which she sent on to Mackenzie on September 28th. Reverend W.P. Mackenzie, beloved student, I have travailed in soul for the dear students in Germany and have built up a theory for their relief that I want made practical by our publishing society in Boston. It is this: to have the Sentinel and CS Journal issued from our house in Boston, printed in both the English and German tongue, and sent to Germany. That grand nation should certainly have the means for obtaining a knowledge of Christian Science, and this way of providing it will save breaking the international law on copyright, and dearer far to my heart, it will help Frau Gunther Peterson and Fräulein Schön to accomplish a great work which they have nobly and patiently inaugurated for the good of their people and the spread of Christian Science. Please bring this request of mine to your board at once and act upon it in the bonds of Christian unity, which we all entertain so warmly for our brothers and sisters across the sea. She gave them the solution with instructions to act at once, but sad to say, months dragged into years before her plan was finally implemented. If her 19th century mission was to be completed in the 19th century, the time had come for students to do more of the work and lean less upon their leader. After numerous letters concerning every detail had been sent to Pleasant View, the following letter was sent to Mackenzie on October 21st. Referring to the German translations of Christian Science literature, the leaders of our cause, the officers of the Mother Church, and the trustees of our publishing society in Boston should adjust this matter wisely and in a way that shall retain harmonious relations with the loyal workers in Germany and other foreign countries. And this must be done without placing the burden on mother or holding her responsible for their decision in this matter. For too many years, she has had to carry these burdens alone, but now feels that others should take these cares upon themselves and relieve her. She emphatically refuses to endorse anything that will tend to make a break between the Christian Scientist churches in Germany and herself. Yours fraternally, Calvin A. Frey.